Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 4th, 2015. And with me today, I have Kelly Goumont. And how are you, Kelly?
Star Wars what? Sorry. I'm thinking about Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's how I am.
We are getting so close.
Yes.
So close. And I'm pretty stoked because when I go see it, I'm actually going to see it with podcast listeners. So that's
I'm really excited because there's a possibility I get to go on a trip and I might get to see it someplace more fun than just my local theater. So I'm not going to say any more about it until I know it's a done deal.
That's awesome. And John Martellaro, it's great to have you here. And where are you going to go see Star Wars The Force Awakens on opening weekend?
Probably at my local mall.
Awesome.
All right. Yep, but the right answer included you are going to see it on opening weekend. So
the right answer was yes.
Well, so. I've got Christmas guests coming on the 21st, and so we'll probably all go together during the weekday on the 22nd or 23rd.
Oh my God, you're going to wait that long?
I can't talk to you until you do so.
And now remember, John is patient.
Yes, and Kelly's head might explode. So just know that if I try to talk to you and you haven't seen it yet and it's out, just remind me, hi, John, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, bye.
Well, it's very hard because of my disposition for outside agencies to get a grip on me to the point where I'm out of control. I have my Spock ears on most of the time, as you recall.
You do understand there's a serious amount of irony in what you just said.
Yes, there is.
Now, if we're really, really delicious. Quiet, we can hear nerd heads explode right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, hey, as long as we're here, we might as well talk about some, you know,
other nerd stuff.
Other nerd stuff, sure. So, turns out that Samsung has just agreed to pay Apple the partial settlement that they asked for in the patent infringement case that they've had going on over iPad and iPhone patents.
In nickels, right?
Yeah, nickels. Yeah, they're going to send a caravan of semis loaded with nickels to one infinite loop. Anyhow, because it's $548 million, and I don't know if it really is nickels, but I love that visual.
I think that was an Onion headline, something put together last time around when it turned out Samsung was going to have to pay.
Yes. Was that
they paid the entire thing. They paid it in nickels.
Which would be really, really funny.
I think I know why Samsung is doing this.
Is paying?
I have a conspiracy theory.
All right.
Well, paying with the catch that they can pull the money back.
Yeah, well, okay.
It's an offering.
Let me give people a little bit more backstory before you walk through the theory.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the $548 million is part of the 900-ish million that Apple was actually awarded in damages for the big landslide when they got in their patent infringement fight with Samsung back in 2011. This is the one where the jury said, yeah, Samsung is trumping all over Apple's patents. Apple is not stepping on any of Samsung's, and awarded them over $1 billion. But then there were some math errors and instruction errors, so that got dropped down to like 950-ish million, and so Samsung has been appealing ever since and trying to get patents invalidated, and so in August, Apple asked the court to force Samsung to pay a partial settlement of $548 million. Samsung totally fought that and they're at the point now where their next step is to go to the Supreme Court and see if they can get the Supreme Court to hear the case. And in the meantime, Samsung has now said, okay, we'll pay the $548 million partial settlement, but on the condition that if these patents are ruled invalid or the Supreme Court says that we need to have a new damages trial, which is a possibility, or there's some other conditions, then Apple has to give them back the money plus the money that Samsung would have paid in taxes on that. So that's where we are right now. And Samsung is going to be giving Apple their money by December 14th. I originally assumed as a check, but now I'm hoping it's in nickels. Okay, now we have the backstory. John, what's your theory?
I'm going to tell you all that you need to know about why Samsung is doing this. It comes from December 2nd, Techno Buffalo, and the opening paragraph says, quote, "The iPhone 7 is set to pack an upgraded Apple-designed processor, and a new report suggests that Samsung may have already lost its chance to supply the latest chip. Instead, 100% of the order will go to rival TSMC. 100%. Now, I'm guessing that what happened was is that we're getting the news about this $548 million right about the time that Samsung was trying to manipulate Apple into winning the order. If you think about how many iPhone 7s Apple's going to sell and multiply that by what Apple pays Samsung for each A10 chip, it's much more than $548 million. And so Samsung said, well, guess what? We're going to be nice guys. We're going to send you the $548 million with the strings that you mentioned and try to get on the good side of Apple and hope that they would get an award for, you know, $1 billion worth of A10 orders. And it didn't work. And so now they're kind of stuck with the $548 million, but they're thinking, well, maybe it'll put us back in the game for the A11 or something like that. So that's my conspiracy theory. I think it's a good one.
I like your theory because I always enjoy a good dramatic conspiracy theory. I think that you're wrong, and I have no insider sources to back this up. But knowing how the legal system works in the United States, it wouldn't surprise me if this was part of Samsung's tactics to control the case, the patent infringement case, which is what they've been doing all along.
Well, a double win.
That's true.
A double win. Yes.
And yeah, well, I mean, you know, and maybe the chip thing played in, or maybe they're looking at this exclusive from the whole chip thing. But if you look at the way the case has played out, Samsung has been very arrogant at times about what they have done, and they even went so far as to say, "Look, we never copied anything Apple did." And this is one of the things that I just loved about Samsung's defense. They set a bowl of water on a table and looked at it, and the inspiration for their designs, for the interface and the hardware, came from looking at a bowl of water.
With an iPhone in the bottom.
They're a crystal ball.
Yeah, that's funny. And since then, they have done what they have done in other cases, or patent infringement cases, which is to drag the process out ridiculously long.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they've done here. So we are coming up on 5 years for this case, and they're just now saying, okay, so we'll pay this partial settlement, but we're putting these other stipulations on, and they're not done with this.
Oh, so, not by a long shot.
No, they have other appeals planned. They are trying to get the Patents and Trademark Office to invalidate patents that were involved in this case. And they still have plenty of cards to play. So mm-hmm. I don't see Samsung throwing down $548 million as an admission of anything. This is not Samsung giving up and saying, yeah, we just can't fight this anymore. To me, this looks like yet another tactic in a long and very protracted and very calculated fight with Apple.
I don't understand why they're allowed to put these sort of restrictions on this money in the first place. But to me, the thing about it is a far less dramatic conspiracy theory, because there's no drama and very little conspiracy. In the U.S., Samsung doesn't get a lot of their own headlines. Samsung tends to get headlines in the U.S. and talked about on shows like this one and others. When they tangle with Apple. And I think that that may be part of what is causing them to drag this case out as long as they are, is because it's like the only way that they ever get mentions in the United States. Because since we started recording the show, they've released another phone. And the tech press here ages ago sort of gave up and like casually mentions it as Samsung has a new thing. It's the same thing. It, you know, it's the same as the last one, but now it's blue. And then, you know, they move on. And I think if Samsung's release schedule were less ADD, then this may not be an issue for them. But when they put stuff out on a, you know, constantly, then they have a hard time sort of getting attention for all of it all the time. And I think that that may be part of what is causing this, is because the US is a huge market for Samsung and their phones are popular here, you know, sometimes when they, you know, relatively. They're like, I believe they're the top selling Android provider. Which
Jessica Jones uses one.
Well, see, there you go.
There you go.
Well, so does my dad. So,
Jessica Jones also drinks bourbon like a fish.
Which explains why she thought that phone was.
Oh, so you started watching? Cool.
Yeah. It explains why she thinks that phone is a good idea, but that's a story for another day.
There you go. She's not going to remind.
Yeah, you know. But I think part of why they kind of cling to this case is because this is the only way that anyone in the U.S. will talk about them. That's my theory.
And you may be right. But since I'm in a totally contrary mood today, I'm going to roll with it and say, I don't think that's it, but I like your theory. Mm-hmm. I think this is all about Samsung's tactics.
Yeah.
Very calculated tactics for the way they deal with patent infringement. They know they're going to do it.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a process for dealing with it. And this
I think it's a bonus. I think it's the bonus in this case. I don't think it's why they're doing it, but I think it totally helps them. And I sort of like that Apple hasn't thrown their hands up and just given in.
Well, that reinforces
on this,
my
and
theory.
That makes me happy too.
That reinforces my theory, Kelly. If there is a process in place for Samsung to do this, then the only way to deal with their process is to punish them and take away their A10 order.
Right.
So I think I'm vindicated.
I never said you were wrong. I just said I have a different
theory. No, Jeff did.
Jeff said you were wrong. But Jeff thinks everyone is wrong today. I think it's just because we're standing on his yard.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is, and which in and of itself is an amazing feat, because my yard is actually a 34x34 Lego plate with little green bricks on it. So,
well, you know, tiptoe.
Yeah, because otherwise it's going to hurt your feet.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's interesting that we've hit the point in the game where Samsung is like, okay, we're going to hand you money, but we're going to put big old strings on it so we can do take backsies. And now we wait and see what their next move in their patent infringement game is going to be.
So am I the only person who now? And keep in mind, I very very casually am following this case anymore. It got so boring so fast and stayed there. But is anyone else like keeping that one bag of microwave popcorn in the back of the cabinet in case this does go to the Supreme Court, and maybe a little bit sad that we're not allowed to view Supreme Court proceedings, because I think that would be super fun to watch.
It would, but we at least have the most awesome consolation we could ever get, which is NPR and Nina Totenberg when she reads the transcripts from Supreme Court discussions. I would pay to go to a show where she just sits on stage and
reads stuff sits like there and reads them. I'd do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So bring it on, Nina. I am
the
there.
Lovely Nina. Yes.
I can't wait.
All right. There's another topic I wanted to hit before we have to wrap up, and this is one that John, I think you're going to be really excited about. There is a report that YouTube, which is a property of Google, is a property of Alphabet.
Who also owns Google.
Yes. And this report says that YouTube is in negotiations with studios and production companies to buy original TV series and movies produced just for YouTube, just like Netflix and Amazon are already doing. and that this will be part of the $9.99 a month subscription service for that YouTube is going to start. That's called Red.
Excuse me while I yawn for a second. Yawn.
So, John, why are you nonplussed by this?
Well, it sounds a lot to me like this business of Pepsi-Cola building iPhones in Asia. Everybody who doesn't have any expertise, who sees somebody else making some money, decides that they have to do it too. And so you end up with too many players, and then there's people who lose a lot of money, and then the whole thing gets re-diagnosed, and let's get back to our core basics, and are we really going to make any money at this, and why are we doing it, and we just want to be in there because we see other people making cool stuff, and we want to be part of it too, and it's just this sort of techno envy kind of thing. And we've already got multiple sources. We've got Hulu, we've got Amazon Prime, we've got Netflix, we've got Apple TV. But no, YouTube has to get in there and do their $9.95 a month. And it's just an endless succession and sorry parade of people who are begging for your money in a kind of a techno jealousy kind of way. And it's just sad to see.
All right. And since I'm on a roll with saying people are wrong today, I'm going to disagree with you, John. I think this totally makes sense for YouTube to do this, and I don't think this is a case where they're getting away from their core business and are just trying to do a Me Too thing. I mean, YouTube's purpose is to show videos and make money off those videos. So this seems to me like a natural extension of that, and I think YouTube is looking at the video content market in the same way that Netflix and Amazon and Hulu are looking at it, and that's an open door. We're in a transition. It's a long transition away from the traditional bulk package cable deals to doing the services that you want and getting your content through those services as opposed to your cable television provider.
I think you said something that was very relevant and important, and that was, so we've got this thing and it's video, and now we need to figure out how to make money off of it. It sounds an awful lot like Twitter. The business model these days is to build something cool, throw it out there, make it free, get a lot of people subscribed because it's free, build an infrastructure, and then come along and say, gee, how are we going to make money? And then that's where you start upsetting your customers, is the contortions you have to go through to figure out how to make money. And then the service becomes damaged by virtue of the hoops you have to jump through to figure out how to generate revenue to build this service that you didn't think through in the first place.
And now we have arrived at today's plot twist. Here's the plot twist in today's episode of Daily Observations. Kelly has decided Jeff is totally wrong. Jeff, wow. You're wrong. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. Dun, dun. So,
all right. So why am I wrong, Kelly?
Cool.
Here's why
my
you're wrong.
My Spock ears are perked up.
Here's why you're wrong. Because, first of all, YouTube is sitting on a ridiculous amount of content and a ridiculous amount of content creators. And anyone who thinks otherwise does not know a kid who is not yet old enough to drive and has internet access.
Yes, and because, this is a big part of what YouTube Red is going to be.
Because those kids speak an entirely different television language than anyone else. That's mm-hmm. just the truth. YouTube has all these creators in the first place. They have people who have turned to YouTube to create a web show, a web series. Like, people call them web series all the time, but for the most part, what it means is you go to a particular YouTube channel and see if the latest episode is up yet. Not mm-hmm. everybody's funny or dying can host their own. So you've got things like Chad Vader is the only one that comes to my mind at the moment. That PewDiePie. Is
that's one of the big deals. Oh,
yeah, Adult Wednesday Addams.
Yeah, Adult Wednesday Addams. That's awesome.
Which is an amazing show. And YouTube has all of that, and I don't understand. And here's the thing, is that everything I've read about this whole YouTube reaching out new content stuff that they're trying to do is that what they want to do is that they want to, like, in the YouTube world, they want to go to the Big Bang Theory and have the Big Bang Theory record an extra 10 minutes of that show that's going to go on YouTube or something like that. And the thing that to me about this is that it sort of sounds like they all want to go to like networks and go to mainstream places and have those people generate content that shows up on YouTube behind this paywall. And the reason that I think that this is wrong is because they're trying to go to those people and go, you know how we're the place where everybody puts up episodes of your shows so that you can't get people to buy them on DVD because they can just go track them all down on YouTube. You already don't like us, and now we want to make a deal with you. And I just don't see it happening.
And Kelly, the second part of that discussion is, you know how successful you've been doing these shows and all the money you're making? We're trying to figure out how to grab some of that money you make.
Yeah. And I don't see it going well for a bunch of reasons. And there's no Steve Jobs to help them negotiate, you know, to walk into the room with all these TV folks and go, hey, what's up? Here's the deal. And, you know, from that all the way down to, like I said, what executive is going to go, is going to sit down and listen to their assistant say, you know, that site, you know, that thing that you're always telling us to do where we pull down episodes off the internet? Yeah. Well, we're doing that all at YouTube, and YouTube wants to meet with us and see what we can do to give them content. Or you know, sell them content. Like, I just don't see anyone taking that meeting. I really, really don't. I would love to be wrong, but given the difficulty that something like Apple TV has with getting content out to people and getting the kinds of deals that would put that stuff on there reliably for people who don't already have a cable subscription, I have a really hard time believing that this is going to go any better than that. And Apple has a foot in the door with most of these places already because they're selling that stuff on iTunes now. And I don't see it, and it doesn't go well for them most of the time. So I don't see it going any better for Google or Alphabet or whoever they are now than it ever did for Apple.
This daily observation has been brought to you by the fabulous Kelly Gumont.
Okay.
Fabulous. Ever since John agreed with me, 2015.
There you go. All right. So we're out of time. But it's my show, so I'm going to take just a moment and toss a couple things out there for people to think about. Okay, so YouTube Red, $9.99 a month. It takes ads out of the videos you're watching. Mm-hmm. It lets you see the exclusive content that YouTube is creating. And what they did was they turned to a lot of the really big, successful people on YouTube and are now funding them to make YouTube-specific content. And I think those two things right there are going to do a lot to entice people into the $9.99 a month subscription. Plus you get access to
all six of them.
Well, those six people are also going to get access to Google's other streaming services. So you have access to the Google Video stuff, the Google Music stuff, all of that. And then if you add in original, compelling, professional shows from studios like Amazon and Netflix have done, I think this has the potential to be a very compelling option for a lot of people. Now, we'll have to wait and see. I may be completely wrong, or you guys may have totally blown it on this one. My guess is that a year from now, we can revisit this topic and then decide who's right.
It's on my calendar.
Awesome. Okay.
You got it.
So with that, we really are out of time. So thank you so much for being here today, Kelly.
You're more than welcome.
And John, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome. Yawn.
It's not very often that we have a show where I have an opinion that doesn't jibe with anyone else on the show.
That's true.
So listeners, what do you think? Am I right, or are Kelly and John right? Let me know. You can hit me up on Twitter. That would be TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com, and you can leave comments in the show notes. I will check all those places. And then, hey, if you have a couple extra minutes, head over to iTunes and give the show a review, because I love your feedback, and I look at all these different places just to see what you guys have to say. It's kind of what I do. So listeners, thank you for being here again today. We will see everyone again next week.